Good morning, everyone. It's Ty.
And Julie.
How are you this morning, darling?
Good. Glad to have you back. Savannah and I had a great time last week, but, you know, it's always good to have my ride or die beside me.
Darling, we're going to ride this train till the wheels come off. So, you know, it has been, as always, every day in our life is crazy. I mean, nonstop. I mean, if it's not the television crew that's in the house, it's the housekeepers, it's the house manager, it's a million different people that's there. And folks, I have to literally try to find a place to have a phone conversation. It seems like that no matter where I go, there's someone at my house working, someone's in a corner doing something else. And I go out and sit by my pool at the pool house just to try to escape from everyone. And then now everyone knows that's where I go. So they'll follow me out there and say, Todd, no, I don't have a moment. And it's about to run me crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I feel like our house is really busy. And between just all the people that are there, then our kids are always there, which is a blessing. But, you know, we've got Grayson wanting to show us something. I got Chloe wanting to show us something. Then Chase is coming in with a problem or a catastrophe. Then Savannah's there, you know, sitting at my makeup table, touching her makeup up. I mean, it's always something.
Or Chase is in my cologne, or Grayson's in my cologne, or they're coming in my bathroom to get something. Folks, how many people with children have this same issue that anything that you have is nothing is off limits to your children?
Yeah.
And I say that to my kids every day. No, if it's in our bedroom and in our bathroom, it's not here for you. So keep your hands off of it.
Exactly.
Does it do me any good?
No.
No, it does me no good. So it's just today just started out like a normal everyday event in our house.
Yeah.
Somebody always messing with
us. Right. Savannah was there last night. So she gets up. I get in the shower. I'm getting ready. She comes in. She's going to take a shower in our shower.
Now keep in mind, there's five other showers.
She has her bedroom. She has the guest bedroom that she can use. And there's a full bath with a shower. Oh, no, I like using your shower better. And you have all your products in here. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, all of our products. Exactly. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, kids can't live with them, can't live without them. So, small update on the Georgia Department of Revenue mess. We have now been given confirmation that the Georgia Department of Revenue has been withholding emails from us, and we now have copies of those, and we're now letting them hang themselves with their denials that they don't exist. And we're going to be getting signed affidavits from the AG's office and the Georgia Department of Revenue acknowledging that these emails do not exist. Now, I know all of you at the Department of Revenue and the AG's office is listening, so I just gave you a heads up on that. But with that being said, you know, we now have that information, and we also have a ton more information that has proven that God is holding our hand and walking us with faith and not fear. The information that was dumped on us yesterday is absolutely earth-shattering. And for that, we appreciate the individual that came forward with this information and documentation yesterday, and we will forever be grateful. Alex, you need to quit sitting on emails that has been given to you, because we now have a statement from one of your cherished few that states that they gave you emails and that you're holding them. So with that being said, it's all going to shake out, and it's all going to shake out fairly quickly within the next, I'd probably say, 4 to 5 weeks. We are going to be filing additional lawsuits. That should be happening next week, now that we have phone records and we've tied everyone together and we know who was involved in this. And the information that we have, yes, a lot of it is heartbreaking, and a lot of it is just confirmation of what we already suspected and really believed in our heart was true, has now been confirmed. So that information came from the phone records and from additional people with the Department of Revenue who have now given statements about these individuals that were involved and that started this investigation and that participated with it, and how the investigation was a joint investigation and It was unlike any investigation they had ever worked on because it was nothing was followed by the book. Everything was done just like the Wild Wild West. Do whatever you want to do, break whatever laws you want to break. But we need a high profile case, and that's what we're going to go after. So this information that we have, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, and all you can do is say, God, thank you, because you know, you pray and ask for the truth to be revealed. And you want it to be revealed, folks, in your time frame. And that's the thing that I've had to learn through this process, is that nothing is on Todd's time and everything is on God's time. And that is what has worked.
You guys know that I love to cook. But, you know, it takes time and planning to cook. And so many times I have recipes that call for so many different kitchen appliances. And it just takes time because you then have to clean all these things. So appliances also take up a bunch of space. And it heats up your whole kitchen when you have to use your big oven. That's why I am so excited about our new partner, the Power XL Air Fryer Grill. You can replace 8 kitchen appliances with the Power XL. It's an air fryer, a grill, a rotisserie, convection oven, pizza oven, griddle, deep fryer, and toaster oven all in one. The Power XL cooks with hot air, not oil, so you can cook healthier with up to 70% fewer calories from fat. And you can cook for the whole family. It fits over 4 times more food than a traditional air fryer and cooks much faster to save you time. You can even char grill and air fry at the same time. Plus, enjoy fried foods without the guilt. The secret is the heating element from above, the side and below the grill plate, combined with turbo blades that are angled to distribute the heat evenly throughout the entire cooking service. It also comes with a ton of accessories like a nonstick grill plate, which I love, a crisper tray, which we use for our fries, a baking pan, a drip tray, and oven rack, and they're all dishwasher safe, so cleanup is super easy. It's almost like they sat down, thought about all the problems with cooking appliances, and decided to start solving them. That's why it's the number one brand of air fryer in the U.S. We just got our Power XL air fryer, and I have to say that I love cooking with it. And this is from someone who likes to cook. It's versatile. The kids can use it. Grayson loves to throw in a pizza or a burger, or we all love our fries there. But the pizza cooked perfectly. It wasn't like too done on the top and then not on the bottom. It cooked that pizza perfectly. So there's a peace of mind also with simply hitting a button and walking away. The Power XL air fryer comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Right now, they have an exclusive offer just for Chrisley Confessions listeners. If you go to trypowerxl.com and use the promo code CC, you'll receive 10% off plus free shipping and a free cookbook that has some amazing recipes in it. So head to trypowerxl.com and use our promo code CC. One last time for this incredibly affordable deal. Try powerxl.com and use code CC.
I posted a photograph of Savannah on National Daughter's Day, and I got a lot of feedback on why I did not post Lindsay on my National Daughter's Day. Clearly, everyone knows it's in the press. I mean, everyone knows kind of where that relationship stands. And she has asked to not be included with anything coming out of my mouth. She has asked that we not say anything about her, and which we don't discuss her. But I wanted to be clear that, yes, I'm fully aware that I have 2 daughters. I have one that I have an amazing relationship with, and I have one that I have no relationship with. So it's my Instagram. I'll post whatever I want to post. But before you post something on my Instagram asking about why you don't post certain things, it's not your business why I don't post certain things. I'll post whatever I want to post because, folks, it's my Instagram. And if I don't give you an update on something that you're dying to know, it's none of your damn business. If I want you to know, I'd tell you. If I want the world to know, I'll tell them. And,
you know, I actually got, and, you know, I'm not, I don't let negative comments like get to me on Instagram, but, you know, I posted as well. Mm-hmm. I posted photos of Savannah and Chloe. Mm-hmm. And people were coming back. Why are you posting this? She is not your daughter. She is your granddaughter. And she's not even biologically your granddaughter. I mean, just awful things like that. And
it's always a basic bitch that's doing that. Some trashy ass heifer who's talking shit.
But my thing is that maybe you guys aren't aware
that we do have custody of Chloe.
That we do have custody
and that
of
parental
her.
Parental rights have been severed. So you know what, folks?
She is our
child.
Yeah.
She is our child. Now, yes, she is biologically my grandchild. Biologically, she is not Julie's granddaughter. She's not Julie's daughter. She's not my daughter. But she is the daughter that God entrusted us to raise.
Absolutely.
And you were damned if you do and damned if
absolutely,
you didn't.
Absolutely. Because if I hadn't posted it, somebody would be like,
same thing they did to me on mine. You have three daughters. You have Lindsay, Savannah, and Chloe. Now, because I didn't post Chloe.
Right.
And I was chastised for that. And because you did, you were chastised.
Right.
For that.
So you can't win for losing. But at the end of the day, when I walk back into my door, Chloe will be standing there and she will say, Hey, Mama, how was your podcast?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't, again, it's our social media. I never want to make Chloe feel less than. And to me, excluding her would make her feel less than. Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of my responsibility as her parent, as her caregiver, is to never make her feel that way. And you know, when you put something out on social media, it's there forever.
That's right.
I never want
Well, I don't know if it's there forever, because a lot of cowards will post shit and then they'll take it down, act like they never posted it. But that's what screenshots are for.
But my thing is that I'd never want her 10 years from now to be scrolling through ancient archives and see National Daughter Day and me not post about her.
Right.
You know, I just would not do that. So, you know, I'm not normally one to, you know, say anything about really social media. But that did bother me because, you know what, I am the one putting this child to bed every night. I'm the one saying her prayers every night. You know, that for me, it hurt my feelings because I feel like we put a lot of work into Chloe.
100%.
And, you know, we did not ask to be raising a child at almost 50 years old.
Exactly.
We've raised our children.
Exactly.
But we thank God every day for her.
That's right.
And we know that she has been way more of a blessing to us than we have ever been to her.
Exactly. And, you know, you're going to come at me and say, well, you know, you should post this. And you should. First of all, you don't know the circumstances. We have agreed that we are not communicating either side, on Lindsay's side or ours. We have no communication, and we're keeping it that way. We know the things that have been done. We know what we've said. We know what we've done, and we know what's been done against us. And we have made the decision that we wish her the very best. We wish her nothing but blessings and pray that God moves her on every day of her life. But what I'm not going to be posting about someone that I have no relationship with and that's offended if her name's mentioned. So I'm not going to do that. Now, there will be subtweeting that goes on after this podcast because that's the passive aggressiveness that you get. But all of that's going to eventually come to an end because there's so much stuff that's getting ready to come out. The truth, folks, will be told. And you guys are going to know because it's going to be in the press. It's going to be in the tabloids. It's going to be all over when you find out all of the things that have been done. And it's not okay to go out here and keep lying and saying or portraying things in a completely different light when that's just not what happened. So we're going to let the truth come out, and we're going to let phone records tell the story. We're going to let text messages tell the story, and we're going to let sworn testimony from Department of Revenue employees tell how this thing started and what the level of participation was and how we were, you know, and how we were literally attacked due to jealousy and greed and manipulation. All of that's going to come out, but I don't have to post it on my social media. I do not have to post that. And I'm going to post about things that I feel good about, that bring me joy, that's informative. That's what I'm going to use my social media for. Now, I love my daughter, Lindsay. I love her dearly, and I wish her nothing but the best. But sometimes, even when it's your child, just because you're a parent, it doesn't mean that you're going to always have a relationship with your child. That's the blessing if that's what God gives you. But if it's not, God will also give you a peace that allows you to move on with your life. And that information that I have received from God is that for me to live my life and to remove any negativity from it, to live in peace and in faith and with hope. And that's what I'm trying to do. But don't expect any mention on my social media about anyone other than who I mention it about. No suggestions to me, because I won't be taking them. I know my truth. I live in it every day. And just because you're on the outside looking in doesn't mean you know shit. So with that being said, I'm going to move on. Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
No. I actually talked about last week when you weren't here. I have started following an Instagram called Life in the Wheat Field. And it is an online Bible study, short snippet, like 5 to 8 minutes. And Lainey Crowder does this every week. And I'm super excited to listen today, because this is the caption. And so this has me intrigued. It doesn't matter how good of a farmer you are if you're sowing with the wrong seeds.
Amen.
I am super excited to hear what Lainey has to say today. So that Bible studies on Life in the Wheat Field on her Instagram. You can go to it. You click on it. And like I said, it's usually like 5 to 8 minutes. It's super short, but it is so uplifting, informative. And I love being able to do it, listen to it every Wednesday. So,
well, you know,
excited about
and
that.
And I know you're excited about that because you do listen to that podcast. And so, I mean, I have not.
It's not actually a podcast. She was on a podcast.
Got you.
And that's how I found her, listening to someone else's podcast. And she just does this on social media. It's just a little Bible study that she does, records it on this social media, on this Instagram, Life in the Wheat Field. So it's just, I have enjoyed it so much.
Well, I'm glad that you do, because I know you talked about that a lot. You know, the other thing I wanted to address is Savannah Nick's breakup. So many people are like fascinated by that breakup. And again, folks, you don't know the back end story. You don't know that only belongs to Nick and Savannah. And we're privy to it because we love them both and they're both in our lives and still are. But they are going through what they are going through. And they'll either come back to each other or they won't. But they are two good-looking, bright, very intelligent people that will find their own way. And if it's God's intention for them to be together, they'll be together. And if it's not, God has someone better suited for each of them down the road. So when you say things on social media about, well, Savannah stopped dating him because he's no longer an athlete. Well, if he was an athlete again, she would date him. Folks, listen. Savannah has more money than anybody that she's dated. So she doesn't need to date somebody for money. She is a self-sufficient, independent young woman who has done very, very well with God's blessings. And she has been a good steward of what God has entrusted in her. So Savannah is in a great place in her life to where she doesn't have to date for financial security. She dates based on her heart. And who she chooses to date is her business. It's not mine, although I try to make it mine. It's not my business. It's her business. And it's 2020. And what I find odd is that we've had this whole Me Too movement. And the whole Me Too movement was about women empowerment. Women standing up for women, equality. But yet it's always the women that talk shit about another woman. Now, I'll go and look at some of these people's posts and I'll go to their photographs. And I mean, and they literally look like 7-day-old shit warmed over. and they're going to give advice on dating. And you got three baby daddies. Nobody wants your advice. Nobody's signing up for your advice. But because you're sitting there behind a screen and you're jealous and your life is so miserable, you want to try to project that on someone else. But the only problem is that Savannah could care literally not. She does not care at all. She's going to say and do whatever she wants to say and do as long as she knows that it's the right thing to do. And if Nick and Savannah don't have an issue with each other, we certainly shouldn't have an issue with it, what they're doing. We have no issue with Nick. We love him. He is still here in Nashville and still doing great. And we have no issues with him. And he and Savannah, you know, they talk every day. But that's their business. And if they want to get back together, they'll get back together. And if they don't, we're okay with that too, because we know that God is moving them both to higher ground with someone that may be more suitable to them long term. Because I have told my children that they need to date with the understanding that this could be their life partner, not out of recreation.
Take your first steps into fall with comfortable, washable, and sustainable products from Rothy. Have you heard about the company making stylish, sustainable shoes and bags made for life on the go? They're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic. Rothy shoes are incredibly comfortable with zero break-in period, thanks to their seamlessly knit-to-shape design. With many chic styles to choose from, Rothy shoes are the perfect pair for any adventure. And it's no surprise that Rothy's best-selling shoe, the Point in Black, has over 3,000 nearly perfect reviews. The newest Rothy styles include brand new bags, masks, and their first adjustable sneaker. The lace-up is out-of-the-world comfortable. As with all their shoes, it's knit from thread made from repurposed plastic water bottles, which I think is just so amazing. You guys know that I love Rothy's. I love the loafer. When I purchased this and it was delivered, I thought, okay, I'm going to try it on for a minute. You know, maybe I'll have to, you know, give it some time to break in, because normally with shoes, that's what I have to do. I can tell you, I wore my loafers all day long. Slide in. They did not hurt the top of my feet. And you can throw them in the wash machine. And that's what I love about them. Rothy's comes in an ever-changing array of colors, prints, and patterns. Rothy's are available in a range of styles. Vogue calls Rothy's a personal obsession, and Health says they're the most comfortable shoes on earth. And I would have to agree. Plus, Rothy's comes with free shipping and free returns. Rothy's has kept over 60 million single-use plastic bottles out of landfills and transformed them into their signature thread, which is then knit into beautiful, sustainable products. And the major bonus is that Rothy's are fully machine washable. And Chloe also has the loafers in navy. And I cannot tell you how many times I have thrown these in the wash machine. And every time they come out looking brand new. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/cc. That's rothys.com, rothys.com/cc. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. So head over to rothys.com and use code CC today.
So with that being said, I think I've touched on the two things that we had received some backlash on in the last week or 10 days. So let's move on to the first caller, please.
So I'm going to try and compose myself. Here's my deal. I met a man when I was 23. He was 24. We were off and on for a while. About 3.5 years in, I found out I was pregnant. I always saw myself marrying this man. Him and I talked about our future. The issue is that I knew he had cheated on me multiple times. There was physical abuse. He is a pathological liar. We tried to make it work. We stayed together until our son was between 10 and 11 months old. He is now about to be 3 in September. He has a lot of mental health issues. I've been fighting him for full custody. Here's the issue. he started dating a girl who appears to be younger. My issue is not with her. My son actually told me about meeting her before my ex ever did. He took our child, because it was his holiday, on a overnight weekend camping trip. First, I didn't realize that his new girlfriend was on this camping trip. And I just don't feel that's appropriate. I don't know how to address this, because if you are serious with someone and you want to bring them on a day trip to an amusement park or to get lunch, that's fine. But a week-long camping trip where I found out they were posting pictures that looked like family photos after he's known this woman for not that long, do I have a right to bring this up? If I do bring this up, is it going to come across as me coming off jealous? Because I'm not jealous.
Oh, darling. This is your child, so anything that bothers you about your child, you absolutely have the right to voice it. I don't believe that when a child is involved, that a man should have that child around any other woman until they know who that woman, until they've dated for a significant amount of time. I mean, you and I dated for what, 6 months?
Yep.
We dated about 6 months, I guess it was, before Julie ever even met Lindsay and Kyle. I filed for my divorce in, God, I don't know when it was. Was it 94? 94, I met you in 96, right?
95.
95. Mm-hmm. Met you in 95. And then we talked. And then after we kind of went out, I think we went to our first movie was Legends of the Fall. And then I guess it was about 2 months after that, 3 months after that, yeah, that you actually met Lindsay and Kyle.
Yeah.
And that was at my mother's home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where they were, my kids were comfortable and, you know, nothing was made out of it. You brought them in, you know, Easter baskets and they were thrilled with that. And then we just kind of gradually went from there. But, you know, I believe that two parents, if you can co-parent, I was never able to do that. There was no co-parenting with me when it came to Lindsay and Kyle. I had custody of Lindsay and Kyle, and I raised them, and I made the decisions. And clearly, obviously, a lot of the decisions that I made, you know, in raising Lindsay and Kyle clearly were not the best decisions, or I wouldn't have had some of the issues that I've had. But I think that both parents should say, he should have picked up the phone and said, listen, I'm seeing someone. I really like her a lot. I'm thinking about, you know, we're thinking about going on this camping trip. We'd like to take our son. How do you feel about that? That should have been the courtesy that he extended to you. And you could have said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know who this woman is. And I don't want you to have our son around anyone until, you know, until I've met them. And,
right.
I get
I
a feel for
it. I think it's hard. I think that is like the ideal situation. But I mean, she said, you know, he cheated on her repeatedly. There was physical abuse in the relationship. So he obviously does not have respect for her, or those things wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think that, you know, you should say, listen, I didn't want you when I had you. So do not flatter yourself and think that this got anything to do with me being jealous. Because I want to give me her address because I want to send her a gift for taking you. But my son's off the table. If you have him around anyone else that I don't know and that I've not been able to check out, then I'm going to court and I'm going to ask that a judge role that you're not allowed to parade people in front of my child. So I hope that helps you. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Heidi from Missouri. I just listened to the 100th episode, and I just want to say if any of your boys are single, Todd, if you raise them the way you say you did on that episode, send them my way, because I need a man that will help take care of me, not the other way around, because that's what I'm used to, is taking care of the man in my life. On a more serious note, though, I know Julie had breast cancer, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I, too, had ovarian cancer last year, and I'm coming up on my one-year mark, and just doesn't get the coverage that breast cancer gets. Bye.
Hi, Heidi from Missouri. Thanks for listening. You know, I don't have any single boys at the moment, but just check in with me because, you know, things change around here very quickly. Yes, we are coming up on October this week, as a matter of fact, and it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we will be talking about breast cancer. We'll be talking about stories from women throughout the month. So I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, best of luck. You're 1 year with ovarian cancer, after being diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I think you're right. We don't talk about it nearly as much as we do breast cancer. And so many times they're hand in hand because it is a hormonal thing. So best of luck. I hope that everything is going well for you, that your treatment was successful, and that you continue to have good health. Next caller, please.
Yes, I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to let you all know that I just listened to the podcast of you talking to your son, and mental illness runs in my family really, really bad on both sides, and it was so touching. And I just love your family, and I watch you all religiously, and thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. You know, mental illness is a tough thing, and you know, there's certainly not enough emphasis placed on it in our country. And, you know, I think proper diagnosis is the key. And I don't think that, and I truly think that's where we lack in this country, because everyone wants to say, oh, it's PTSD, or it's bipolar, or it's narcissism, or it's this. And there's so many misdiagnoses, you know, that we dealt with. And, you know, I just think that, you know, by the grace of God, go you and I. And no one knows what someone else is going through in their home or in their family. And, you know, I try to say each day to my children, and I try to practice it myself, to give grace where grace is due. And, you know, just because someone snaps at you, you don't know what it probably has nothing to do with you, but it may have everything to do with all the things you know nothing about. So, you know, it's just a tough thing. But I mean, I wish you and your family nothing but blessings, you know, and goodwill. Next caller, please.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Todd. I hope you're having a swell day. I'm Megan Lee from California, and I need some advice on having such a narrow-minded parent. I'm part of the LGBTQ community, and my mom doesn't care much for it, or my significant other, and would just make some offensive comments. I understand she's traditional and I've let them slide, but when is it her turn to be understanding? I'm a responsible adult. I got my BA. It could be worse, but she chooses to focus on this. Any advice would help. Thanks.
Hi, Megan from California. This is a hard one. But I do feel like, Megan, that, you know, we have to just go back to the core. We have to treat people with respect, whether it's your child, whether it's your parent. And, you know, I feel like that you have the right to love who you love. I feel like you are saying that you are responsible, you are educated, you are making good decisions. And those things are so important. I also feel like that as a parent, you know, I want my children to be happy. And you know what? That looks so different with every child. And even though I know that it's hard for your mom, you know, my prayer is that she will just step back. She will listen. She will observe you being happy. And even though, you know, she may not agree with you, we can still love people and not agree with every decision 100%. That they make. You know, I think right now in this world, even more so, we are so divided on everything from politics to religion to sexual orientation. And at the end of the day, we are all one people. We are all Americans. And if we could get back to that I can love you even though we are so different. I can respect you even though we have different views. And that's truly how I feel. I mean,
that's perfectly said. I mean, I mean, we've always said if who our child loves is our biggest problem, we have no problem. You know, I think that you know, where your mother is. I mean, you've got to look at the gen, and this truly just is what it is. There's a generational gap. And you know what? I'm 52. I can remember, you know, going to school and people using queer and gay and sissy and, you know, whatever. And, you know, those were hurtful names, to, you know, that people would say. And, you know, when we had children, what was the thing that I said they would never use?
Right. Any of those words.
I said, these are a list of words. And I went through a list of words with all of our children. I said, these words make people feel less than before you say them. I said, so if you use one of these words to harm someone, then I'm going to tear your ass up because it will not be accepted in our home. But there is that generational divide. You know, when I was growing up, there just wasn't a lot of talk about homosexuality and gay and whatever. And, you know, yes, there were people in our school that we find out, shit, what was my 25th reunion.
Class reunion.
And there were several people that, you know, came, you know, that have come out. And I'm like, oh my God. But, you know, I think that for me, it's a lack of understanding. And I believe that if you are living an honest, decent life, and, you know, listen, you can't help what your heart wants. Now, you can use your head and overrule your heart. And a lot of times we all should be doing that because our heart can get us into trouble. But you should be using your head to say, is this person that I'm sitting here and that I think I'm in love with and that I'm going to be with, am I getting enough out of that relationship to damage all of the other relationships before this? And if the answer is yes, then you keep doing what you're doing. If the answer is no, then you know what you need to do. But your mother is not going to change your sexual orientation. You are who you are, and you should be able to live your true, authentic self. And your mother has to love you because you are her child. And we don't always love everything that our kids do. I mean, listen, all of my kids have done things that I did not like. But I have never stopped loving them a day in their life. And I can love from a distance. My love is so strong for all five of my children that there's nothing that they're going to do that's going to stop me from loving them. It's just not going to happen. No matter how much you hurt me, it's not going to cause me to hate you and stop loving you. Because I know in order for you to be doing these kind of things to hurt me, you're hurting. And so until you decide to address that hurt yourself, then you're going to keep hurting everyone around you. And then you're going to ultimately be sitting in a room by yourself because everybody's going to walk away from you. But you need to know that as long as you're doing the right thing, as long as you're respecting your mother and you're not giving her any worries about drugs or jail or breaking the law or whatever, and the only thing she's got a problem with is the fact that you love another woman, then that's her problem. It's not your problem. So I hope that helps you. Good luck. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. First of all, I want to say that I absolutely love you guys and your family. Todd, you are a hoot. I listen in every week and watch every week. My question is, how do I go about feeling that I've been put on the back burner by my family, my parents mainly? I don't think they're doing it intentionally, but I'm 30 years old. I've been married coming up on 6 years. I have an absolutely amazing, wonderful stepson. I have a great job. But yet, my younger brother seems to get more of the attention because his life is kind of in an upheaval. He's 2 years younger than me. He's fighting for custody of his two kids that he had with his ex-girlfriend. I do applaud my brother for stepping up in that way, but the thing is that he's living at home with his kids. My older brother is severely disabled, So my parents work from home as his caregiver. He lives at home. He's got built-in babysitters. Now he works at home. And I just found out that his best friend just moved into my parents' home with him. And they just gave him a job as my brother's caregiver also. So whereas it seems that even though I love my brother to death, his life is not really going that good, but yet he gets all the attention. And I have voiced it to my parents a couple times, but it kind of seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. And to be honest, my feelings are really starting to get hurt here. I need my parents too.
Okay. That is a lot. So what I'm hearing is that you feel like you are doing the right things and you're not getting the attention for that, but your brother, who has made bad decisions or poor decisions, and his life's in upheaval, is getting all the attention. I think as parents, sometimes we focus on the child who is hurting, who is struggling, because as a parent, we want to help that child get in a better place. That doesn't mean that we aren't grateful and thankful for the children who are doing well, who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And at the end of the day, you are 30 years old. You said you have a good marriage, stepson, job, all that. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So you cannot always have to seek out the validation of someone else. You know you're doing the right thing. So you're good. You need to find that within yourself, that you don't constantly have to have someone else validating you or someone else giving you attention. And I know that, you know, you've got a special needs brother. That requires a lot of time and energy from your parents. So I think you need to show your parents some grace here, because they've got one son who special needs, another son who's in this custody battle and trying to, you know, take care of the kids. And it is a lot, but I think you need to give your parents some grace. You said at the very top of this call that you don't feel like they're doing it intentionally. I'm sure they're not doing it intentionally. And maybe let the dust settle, let everybody kind of get back on their feet. And then you can have that conversation with your parents and be like, you know what? I love you guys, but you know, I'd like for you to, you know, spend some time with me or acknowledge that I am doing what I'm supposed to do because it makes me feel good. So best of luck with that. If your family's like mine, we have adapted to a lot of change this year, from school's out to summer vacay, all the way back to, well, back to school. And while this Halloween may look a little different, the treats don't have to stop at candy. No tricks. With a KiwiCo hands-on science and art project, you won't go batty with boredom. Instead, your kids will be inspired by KiwiCo's seriously fun and innovative projects, problem-solving crates delivered right to your door every month. No bones about it. And we are super excited to work on our Halloween crates. So the last project that we worked on was the Atlas crate, which had globally inspired projects that Chloe loved to actually see a map in different places around the world, and to actually be able to touch, feel, and see it laid out made it so much easier to explain it to her. And she didn't get bored with it because she felt like she was creating. She felt like she was being artistic, and all the while she was learning from it. So your child can get super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to their door every month. And Chloe loves getting that box with her name on it. While they might be unavailable to go to fun places, you can bring a fun activity straight to them. And unboxing a crate feels just as exciting as receiving it. Everything they need is inside each colorful crate, so your child can get started right away. They won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. When they're finished, Watch their confidence be as big as their smile. It's hard to find new creative ways to keep the kids busy while stretching their brain, especially now. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend more quality time tackling projects together. With a different crate for kids of all ages, there's something for every kid on your list. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel at any time. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/cc. That's kiwico.com/cc. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. First off, I want to say I love your show. I'm an 18-year-old senior in high school. I know what I want to do when I get out of high school. I want to be in the soundboard system, like audiovisual, stuff like that. Can you give me some advice on how to start reaching out to people and what's the steps I should take into really pursuing it and being up there and known? Thank you so much. Once again, I love y'all's show very much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, buddy. You want to do audiovisual stuff, then you know you've got to go get training for that. Because if you want to work for major artists or studios or what have you, they're going to ask you, what's your resume? What have you worked on? What artist have you worked with? And the only way to do that is through experience and education. So my suggestion to you is to get into a technical school that, you know, that would teach you as much of this as you possibly can and get into the best one that you can get into. And then you, even after you have that, you're going to have to hit the streets and you're going to have to make contacts to get in with these artists and studios and what have you in order to be able to gain the experience. Right.
And what we have seen is that you're not going to start out at the top.
No.
You're going to have to put in that work to prove yourself, to learn the trade, and to work your way up. So best of luck with that. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. My name's Alyssa from California. I just had a question. 2 months ago, about my grandmother had passed away. And since that, there's been trouble in the family, regarding my aunt. Basically drained all the money after she passed and knows how to get paid. And I just don't know what to do. Part of me wants to just freak out. Other parts of me just wants me to just get alone, like my grandma would do. And it's been really hard for me because I would usually go to my grandma with these types of things. So just some advice, because the money she used was supposed to be towards the bills that I had to pay for my grandma after she passed. So hoping you give some insight. I love your guys' show, and I hope you guys are doing good.
Hi, Alyssa. I'm so sorry to hear about your grandmother passing. I'm not sure, what steps you have or what recourse you have. But is this your mom or your dad's mother? Because in my opinion, your parents should be taking the lead in this with their sibling and to come up with a resolution. If your grandmother had bills that had to be paid and responsibilities, obligations, those things have to be taken care of. So, I know you said that you had things that you had to pay for your grandmother. So, I would encourage you to, if you can, and if your parents are present, to, have your parents sit down with their sibling and be like, okay, we got it. This is not the granddaughter's responsibility. This is our responsibility as the siblings and as the children to handle this the appropriate way. So best of luck with that, Alyssa.
You gave good advice on that. Yeah. Because I don't think that it's Alyssa's place to be involved in that. That's her mom and dad's job to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you
whichever can, one is this aunt's sibling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You need to take a back seat to that, because that is either if it's your mom's sister or if it's your dad's sister, It's that parent's responsibility to confront their sister and say, you did this and this and this with our parents' money, and now you need to make it right. I mean, I think it's the craziest thing. And I mean, I'm so grateful that you and I have all of our estate stuff the way that it's supposed to be.
Right.
And, you know, I've made sure that there is no arguing over anything when that time comes. You know, our stuff is very clean, very clear. I've done videos for each of my children. I've said, this is why you're not getting this, and this is why you are getting this. And, you know, it's not, I mean, I don't believe that you can leave things up in the air like that, but for this exact reason.
Right.
I mean, I even have a legal fund that is set up that if one of my children contest what I have left them, they void it completely, and that legal fund kicks in if they have to litigate it. So, you know, I just think that this is why you have estate planning, and this is why it should be followed to the letter of the documents that you've left behind. I mean, you know, Chase will say, well, you know, are you splitting everything evenly? No, I'm not. No, I'm not splitting everything evenly. I am giving to whom I want to give to, and I'm giving them what I want them to have. It's my money, it's my stuff, and I'm going to place it in the hands of the people that I believe, you know, deserve it the most. And maybe deserve's not the right word. Maybe, you know, I'm going to give it to the person that I feel the best about giving it to.
Right.
And, you know, it has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with, I love this child more than I love this child. It has to do with how I feel about who I'm giving what I'm giving to. And I'm going to give certain things to this child, certain things to this child, certain things to this child, and then I'll give other stuff to other children. Will it all balance out evenly? No, it will not. But I will have done with my money and with my things what I wanted to do with them. And my children do not get to determine what I'm going to leave them. And your father or your mother, they need to step up and say the same thing to your sister or to your aunt, you know, that you basically stole from our parents, and this is not what our parents wanted, and this is what the will says, and, you know, it is what it is. So, I mean, my advice to you is the same as Julie's. I think you need to step aside and let your parents step up and take this battle.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd, Julie. My name's Logan from Illinois. I just wanted to call and say, one, that I really love Chrisley Knows Best, growing up Chrisley, and love listening to your podcast. I just wanted to call and see if I could get both of your advices on me and my fiance have been together for 5 years. We've been engaged for 3, going on 4 years. We have a 4-year-old daughter, but we are very blessed to have her. And me and my fiance communicate a lot, but lately we've been butt heads because my fiance feels like she is always doing everything by herself. We do share the chores of the house. I'm gone a lot because of work. When I'm not at my full-time job, I do a part-time job of just odds and ends jobs. And I was just calling to get your advice on how I could help her not feel like she's doing everything alone when I am gone a lot. I love you guys very much, and thank you.
Hi, Logan. You know, I think all relationships go through this at some point or another where one person in the relationship feels like they're doing everything. You have said that you guys split the chores in the house and that you do work away a lot of the time. So I personally feel like that if my spouse is working away, then I do have to pick up the slack. And I think you have to realize, I have said this many, many, many times, I think that the younger generation, the millennials, they're very tit for tat. Well, you know, I did the laundry, you do the floors. I did the bathroom, you do the garage. I mean, they're constantly keeping score. And that to me would be so exhausting. I think you have to realize there's going to be times in the relationship where you're going to do more than your spouse. And that's just the reality of it. And then hopefully the tides will turn and there'll be times when they'll do more. And then you'll even out and you'll kind of feel like, okay, we're each pulling our weight.
I mean, there's been times often that you have felt like you do more than what I do. And there's times that I feel like I do more than what
Absolutely.
You do. But when it comes to running a house, running the everyday, you know, the day to day, dealing with kids and whatever, you do more.
Right. But you do so many other things that help our family and help move our family along that might not be doing a dish or putting a kid to bed, but it is so important for our family.
Well, I think that we all have talents.
Right.
And, you know, not all of us have the exact same talent. And that would be bad. If you and I had the exact same talent, then we'd be missing out on something.
Yep.
Because, like, I don't have the ability to put a meal on the table.
Right.
To go and take kids, you know,
and I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to negotiate contracts and deal with God knows everything that you've been dealing with for us for this whole Georgia Department of Revenue. I mean, that has truly been a full-time job in addition to all the other full-time jobs that you have.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, and I look at it and I think that, you know, long before the show ever started, you know, I think you and I had a kind of ebb and flow. You know, we knew what we were supposed to be doing. And in this whole, you know, when the show started, it was you and I both had to learn how to negotiate a contract, how to speak to the attorneys, how to understand what they were telling us. And, you know, you and I would be laying in bed and you'd say, well, you know, I don't want to do this or this, or I think we should do this. And then I'd get on the phone and say to the attorney, you know, I've talked it over with Julie. I've talked it over with Savannah, with Chase, you know, this is what all the family collectively is saying, and I'm the mouthpiece for the family, you know, but we make these decisions collectively and jointly, and this is kind of where we're going to stand on the line as far as the family goes.
Right.
And, you know, so I kind of became the mouthpiece because what is it I say to you every day about you putting me on somebody?
Yeah, that I'm good at behind the scenes. I get him all roused up.
And you know, Julie will say, Todd, now you need to pay attention to this. Now, Todd, this person's doing this. Todd, this one did that. And I'm like, I'll deal with it. So then when I call them out, she'll say, well, I didn't mean for you to say it that way. And I'm like, no, if you're coming to me and telling me something and you want me to address it, then I'm going to address it. And so, you know, I think that every relationship has its weak, you know, one partner is strong in one thing and another partner is strong in the other. And where they're weak, you need to be strong. And where you're weak, they need to be strong. And that's what makes it work. And, you know, I just think that it's normal for his fiance. He's gone a lot. So I think it's normal for her to feel like she's doing it
right.
All.
Right. They have a child. So
she's cleaning the house, dealing with all the stuff that goes along with running the bills, taking care of everything while he's out making the money. So from his perspective, and I know I've felt this way many times in our marriage, I feel like if I'm out working, bringing the money in, then I need for you to, while I'm working, to take care of the money and make sure everything's being done the right way. I have never paid a bill. How long have we been married?
Almost 25 years.
25 years.
We've been together 25
right.
years.
I have never paid a bill. Never have I paid a bill. I wouldn't know right now if something happened to Julie. I would not know how to go to whatever it is that you do, you and whoever is doing our bills or whatever. I would have to pick up the phone and call somebody and say to our accountant, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. You know, you're going to have to help me because Julie did all of this for us. You know, when it comes to appointments and things like that, I mean, I would have to learn to do it, and
yeah.
I could learn to
yeah,
do it.
You could.
But I don't do it.
Right.
I depend on you to say, Todd, you've got to be here and here and here and here. And Todd, you need this many outfits and this many looks and whatever. I depend on you for that.
Right.
So I just think that it's a beautiful thing to be in a relationship to where you recognize your weaknesses and you acknowledge the blessing that God has given you to place you with someone who knows your weaknesses, and they step in to make sure that you don't even know you have that weakness. I think that's a blessing. So I think that if you love each other and respect each other, you'll work through it. So good luck and God bless. On that note, I think we're out of time.
Yep.
I want to thank each and every one of you each week for tuning in to Chrissy Knows Best and for continuing to tune in on Bravo and on E! And now on Peacock. You know, we have... You know, Chrissy Knows Best. Growing Up Chrissy is in production next week for season 3. And we have 2 other new shows that's coming out. And then I've got another really fun show that I'm working on with my mother and with a couple of other mothers of, you know, country music artists. And I think you guys are going to see that the Golden Girls are back. And I'm so excited for that. That show is probably one of the most exciting shows that I have had the privilege of creating since I started this. And so I'm grateful for that. So I'm grateful to each and every one of you for tuning in to Chrissy Confessions, Growing Up Chrissy, you know, Chrissy Knows Best, and for following us on social media. You know, even the haters, you know, the haters can be your motivators. And, you know, when you see that your blessing is causing bitterness to someone else, you just have to celebrate that. Because that's what I do. So with that being said, until next week, take care of each other and lift each other up. Good luck and God bless.